Hello, and welcome to the Monco on the Move podcast. I'm Jared Brown, Assistant Dean of Academic Affairs at Monco's Pottstown campus. Our guest today is Dani Arcas Navas. She is the newly elected president of the Student Government Association here at Monco. The 25-year-old is a native of Ecuador and moved to the United States 5 years ago. She'll also tell us her story about working as an au pair before eventually enrolling at Monco and beginning work as a psychology major. Then she'll talk about some of the platforms she'll focus on this fall as a Student Government Association president. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dani to the show. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I want to extend a congratulations to your presidency role.
Thank you. Fun fact,
when I was in college, I was on Student Government Association as well, and I had an amazing experience serving
so
in that role. So I was not president.
Okay.
However, I think from the interaction we've had thus far, you're going to do an amazing job.
Oh, thank you so much.
So I'm very excited to see what you do. Okay. So let's dig in. You're a native of Ecuador, but also you have some Colombian going on. So what does that mean? Tell us a little bit about culture, heritage, whatever you'd like to share about yourself and the meaning behind that.
So I was born in Ecuador, in mm-hmm. the capital city, Quito.
Oh.
But my mom is Colombian, and my grandparents from my dad's side, so actually my dad's grandparents are Colombian as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I am more Colombian by blood, but I was born in Ecuador. So it's a very interesting mix because I will wake up and for breakfast I will have a very typical dish from Colombia called changua or mm-hmm. arepas, which are most commonly known. But, you know, the rest of my friends will just have, you know, regular Ecuadorian breakfast like coffee, bread, you know, eggs. But that was not the case for me. And it went from food all the way to words and language. So
music,
yes. I love salsa. I love, absolutely love salsa.
So great.
So I grew up listening to that while the rest of my friends were listening to more native Ecuadorian music.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some, you know, things that even in my own country I had to adjust to.
Wow, very unique. It's fascinating for someone to, I guess, cross culture almost and learn to be adaptable. I would think you'd have to, like, sort of adapt in some ways.
Yes.
Like, wait a second, this is more Ecuador, right?
Exactly.
And I need to maybe hold off on the Colombian a little bit.
Exactly.
yeah. But being exposed to both, how rich and exciting that is for you. I think that's so important, and thank you for sharing that about yourself.
Of course.
So when did you move to the United States?
I moved here in 2018,
mm-hmm.
And I came as an au pair. This mm-hmm. is an exchange program, so mm-hmm. I came here as an au pair. I started out in Florida, but then the family, you know, we didn't match, so then I found another family in Pennsylvania, and, you know, I fell in love with Pennsylvania. A lot of people are like, what do you see here? Like, there's nothing to do. And I'm like, listen, like, I just love the historical part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that is, you know, I have lived in the Bluebell area this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love how quiet and peaceful it is. I love the easygoing of this part of Pennsylvania. I love, absolutely love the views when it's fall.
Oh,
so
yeah. You get to
it's
see
amazing.
The seasons. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Although winter, I don't know what's happening.
I love winter.
Yeah, but I don't think we haven't had a very strong winter.
No, I don't like that. I like the snow.
Well, yeah, you need to experience that. Yeah,
we'll work on that.
Okay, so when you moved to the United States, you mentioned that you had to become an adult. Like this adulting sort of happened.
Yes.
And what has that been like for you?
So it's funny. I came to the U.S. when I was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, now I'm 25. I just turned 25 on Saturday.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, it's a midlife crisis. Well, a quarter of a life crisis. Yeah. It's been, it's like the process of adulting here has been crazy because you have to deal with two different expectations, like cultural expectations. Mm-hmm. So in the Hispanic side, mm-hmm. you know, at 25, you know, most likely I should be married and have kids probably. Mm-hmm. And on the American side, I should have my degree, probably my master's already. And I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out on the way. So it's been a really interesting process to be here and to try to understand how people do things here. Mm-hmm. Like taxes. I had never in my life before done taxes.
Yeah, and they're super fun.
They're totally fun, you know, because the money goes to the government. But right. like, and this is my fourth or fifth year doing taxes all by myself.
Oh, good
so,
for you.
So, you know, like, good for you. We learn things. I also bought my first car here. I, you know, my apartment, that was, like, I've had so many first times in this country
wow.
as an adult that make me, you know, wonder, like, wow, this is what adult life means or looks like kind of thing.
So, I know that in many cultures, family is first. Family
yes.
is so important. Family is what matters. Did any of your family come with you, or are you independently doing this, or what's the deal with that? Not to dig too deep, but I think it's interesting knowing what I know and having some really close relationships with people who are Italian and Latina or Latino. You know, I understand and I listen that family is like number one. And so
yes.
tell us a little bit about that.
Well, family is definitely first.
Okay.
So I came in 2018, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. My family, my mom, my brother, and my dad came in the Christmas of 2019. And then because of the pandemic, you know, in 2020, they, you know, it was crazy. So,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it was just crazy. But they've been here with me ever since. And it's been a roller coaster, definitely, because you get used to a life independently. Mm-hmm. And then going back to living with your family is a huge challenge, especially when you're used to just, you know, doing your own thing, coming and going, you know, without really asking permission or, like, mm-hmm. without having to pick up someone or to, you know, buy this or to do that,
or
you know.
Or to check in with people.
Or to check in, like, hey, I got here,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's been definitely a roller coaster. But despite everything, I am so thankful that I get to be with my family.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they have helped me through the toughest times mm-hmm. here. And it's just amazing to, you know, count on them here, because you know I know so many people don't have that opportunity, so I'm grateful, really grateful for that.
You lived with your host family as you served in this au pair role for 3 years. Then what did you do next?
So I decided to apply for college.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for a college in Virginia. So mm-hmm. I went to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like it. I was studying
to be...
Yeah,
it's not Pennsylvania.
Yeah. It's not Pennsylvania. It's too humid for me.
Yeah.
And they have these bugs, let me tell you. Oh, my goodness. They're horrible. In the summer, they have these black flies that actually bite you. Like, they bite you. Flies are biting you. And then on the winter, they have these stinky bugs that if you smash them or kill them, they stink so bad.
So you learned some things in Virginia.
I okay. learned some things in Virginia, definitely. But I was there for about a year and mm-hmm. a half, a little bit less than, like, a year and 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just not for me. It was not a good environment for me. I started having a lot of mental health issues. I was very stressed. I was under a lot of pressure. Actually, fun fact, I was also elected like the president of my department in that school.
Wow.
But because of all the stress and all the like, you know, things going on over there. Sure. I had to step back and, you know, just take care of myself.
Which is important.
It's so important.
Because I think for students, humans, leaders, if we aren't okay, we can't do our best in helping others.
That's exactly true.
I'm glad that you recognize, like, okay, I need to readjust, take a pause. I love taking a pause and really just thinking about where am I at currently and what do I need to do.
Yes. But you know what?
Yeah.
There is an extra component to it, you know, because I'm just picturing myself, you know, going back to like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
My family was in Pennsylvania, so it's not like we were close, but we were not that close. I didn't have a car. They were here. I was there. I was having mental health issues, you know. I was doing so many things by myself, for myself. And I also had my visa. So, you know, taking that break, that mental health break, was not as easy, you know. Mm. Because if I don't take classes for a semester, I lose my visa. You know, I have some requirements that I have to fulfill.
Right.
So that makes it definitely harder because it puts pressure on you. It puts pressure to be okay, to just, you know, just have good grades or, like, don't get in trouble. Or, you know, it's conditioning a lot. So I actually started having issues with my mental health, like, way before. But I was trying to suck it all in, like, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm the firstborn of my family. Mm. So as a Latina, as a firstborn, as, you know, a woman, there are so many expectations already, you know.
Ecuador, Colombia,
and being here, and right, the language barrier. And there are times that I still, you know, my English, a lot of people compliment me on my English because they say it's good, but they don't realize a lot of times I still don't understand what they're saying, you know. Yeah. I still have a hard time. I have been living here for 5 years, but I still cannot understand some things you say or, like, some sayings.
Me either.
People be talking
sometimes. I feel you. So
yeah,
that's I understand that. So can we move to SGA, and why did you run for president here at Monco?
So once I came back to Pennsylvania, okay, I already had, like, taken a couple of classes in Monco, so I decided to enroll. And the first semester I was involved in a couple of clubs, but I was not really, you know, too much into it because I wanted to see how much I could manage. You know, I was still recovering. Mm. I was still trying to do, you know, the best I could.
And adjust.
Exactly. Yep. Adjusting again. But it was easier because Pennsylvania was my comfort zone in some way. Mm-hmm. So despite being in my comfort zone, of course, I'm going to have some uncomfortable situations. But I was trying to test my limits and see where I could go. So I met someone that was part of SGA. And, you know, I talked to her and I was like, well, you know what? I want to be part of that, you know? So I just waited. And to the spring semester, I was able to, you know, run for a position in SGA.
That's great. For president, what was your platform?
Actually, I started the first time, like, I submitted my application, mm-hmm, I ran as a secretary. But after talking to a few friends, I was like, you know what? I switch it up. You know, they convinced me. I switch it up. I, you know, run as president, which was crazy. Before the election day, we had a couple of days where we could campaign.
Yep.
So it was basically word of mouth.
Hmm.
That's the easiest way, word of mouth. I convinced two other of my friends to just, you know, come run with me. We teamed up, we put a table, and we started talking to people. I remember I put on my laptop, and I will tell people, like, here, you know, I want to hear what you have to say, so you fill in. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see at Monco? What is happening? What do you see that we, you know, need? What has been your experience? Because my experience is not your experience, you know? Mm-hmm. So I need to know. Mm-hmm. So in case something happens, you know, in case I actually become the president, I'm already prepared, or like at least I have an idea of what is going on.
As you're campaigning, what were you hearing from the students?
There were a lot of students that talked about the cafeteria. There were a lot of students that told me we need back the cafeteria because some of them, or the majority of them, are here the whole day. They, you know, can come have breakfast or have breakfast at their house or on the way, you know. But they also need lunch, or if they cannot have breakfast at their homes, they need breakfast here. People mentioned that they missed so much the chocolate chip pancakes or the tater tots, you know, which are amazing. I love the tater tots. But a lot of people mentioned the cafeteria. They, you know, they expressed the Monco market is there and it helps, but we need some, you know, more substantial food.
And to clarify, the college temporarily had to close the cafeteria to make space for our culinary arts program at Bluebell, the campus. Until the Hospitality Institute opens, we need a space for our culinary students, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes you as a leader, we have to make tough decisions, right?
That's
right. We have to make tough decisions, but I'm also inspired that you took the initiative to hear what your peers were having concerns about. And as a leader, we have to listen. But I think we also have to know all the pieces.
Exactly. Because the culinary students are also part of Monco, are also students, you know? So we cannot, we need to do the work without damaging the other areas that are also important in this school, you know?
And have all the information.
Exactly.
Because sometimes we assume.
We assume a lot of things. A lot of things. I heard people thought that they were just closing the cafeteria just because. You know? And I'm like, no, that's not what what's happening, you know? You still also have to be informed. So we're reviewing different options. We're trying to see how we can help, you know, how we can bring probably, you know, some food services to campus or make it more available, you know, different solutions. And there's a great team now, part of SGA. It's a great team. I love them. And they are amazing. They are amazing people. And they bring in ideas that, oh my goodness, you guys will see.
All right.
Stay tuned.
So what other topics were a part of your campaign that you can highlight?
Of course, of course. Yeah. So we focused basically on these two other things. One of them was clubs. We realized, you know, talking with my friends, with my peers, and with other SGA members, we realized that a lot of people didn't know how many clubs we have on campus. And that was an issue because when you looked up before in Monco Connect, just only a few clubs will pop up, the clubs that will have the word club on it. So I'm actually part also of the Student Usability Board.
Yep.
Shout out to Angela. She does a great, amazing job with that.
Absolutely.
She is awesome. So I talked to her and I mentioned this to her. And I remember like a couple of days later, I went on to look for that, you know, to see if they had done something about it. And when I typed club, I saw all the clubs, like the majority of them. You know, we still have to work on who is the advisor or the president of the club, when do they meet, which room, you know. But it all is about little steps, you know, taking small steps. Another thing that we were also talking about in campaigning for was culture. So a lot of students mentioned, too, that there is a lack of campus culture. They need a little bit more, you know. And we heard, but we also saw and experienced, you know. And we were able to, you know, think through with this group of people that, okay, probably, you know, we can put two clubs together, basically. So let's say the psychology club wants to do something. And they need some video resources so they can join with the, you know, Monco Radio or, you know, the theater club, you know.
More collaboration.
Right. Collaboration between clubs. I remember on my first semester I was part of the psychology club and we did a collaboration with the math club. And that's how I ended up knowing the person who told me about SGA, you know? So it was all about connections. And connections, those connections are the ones that build the culture in the campus. Because if you know people around, then those people invite you to their events. And then we increase the student engagement and we increase, hopefully, student enrollment. And, you know, we just help each other overall.
Engagement also helps with retaining students. Mm-hmm. Because when we feel connected to the institution, we're more likely to stay. So I'm very excited that you're looking at those aspects of the engagement piece. When did you find out you were president?
It was like a week after elections were done. Elections were done online. You have to, like, complete a survey on your student email. And a week later, I got an email, very formal, but at the same time, very unexpected. You know, it was like results of, you know, SGA. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. So I didn't think I was going to, you know, become the president. I was just running because I thought, you know, well, if there is a chance, why not? You know, why not take it? Why not shoot for it? I had my plan already, you know. But when I saw the results and when it said, like, Danny Arcos Narvaez, president, I was like, oh, my gosh. My first thought was, like, what did I get myself into? Like, because I was not really expecting it to happen. But then, you know, as the first meeting came and as I – you know, got along and I got to meet the rest of the members, I was like, it's okay. It's going to be okay because they are amazing. They are very supportive. Tyler is there. Sarah is there. Yep. They work with us. They, you know, mentor us. We actually just had a retreat where we talked about our strengths. What can we do better? What do we expect from each other? What do we expect from Tyler and Sarah? What do they expect from us? So it's just a great teamwork, and that's what makes the dream work.
How would you summarize your experience thus far at Monco?
My experience has been amazing. I don't even have words to describe it, like, because so much has happening. So much has happened, and it's just a lot. A lot of opportunities, a lot of people that I've been able to meet, a lot of professors that I've been able to connect, a lot of faculty that I've been able to talk to, a lot of events that I've been able to attend, a lot of things that I've been able to learn. As an international student, you know, the impact that Monco has had in my life has been life-changing, because when I came back, you know, I was not okay. I was in a very bad position mentally, you know, physically as well, because when your mind is affected, your body also suffers. And the process to come into Monco was really easy. I did not have any problem. It was very smooth. We had the induction for international students. Probably helped that I had already been here before. Sure. But I was, you know, it felt right.
It felt right.
And with my major as well, it just felt right. And whenever I'm attending classes or whenever I'm, you know, talking with my friends or whenever I'm planning for next semester, I'm always looking forward to learning, looking forward to those classes, because I know that I'm getting good quality education. And that's awesome. That you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that everywhere.
Danny, I really appreciate your openness and your journey and your story, but also helping others understand that unless you take a chance, you don't know what might happen.
Exactly.
And what you can learn through taking a chance when an opportunity comes your way.
Exactly. Right? So don't be afraid.
That's right.
You know, don't be afraid. If you want to be part of a club, if you want to, you know, just come to an event, do it. You know, I know COVID has put a lot of, like, restrictions on us, and we're still a little, you know, fuzzy about it. But just come out, you know, if you want to be in a position where you can have more opportunities. There are opportunities here in Monco. So you just got to look a little, ask a little, you know.
And put yourself out
there. Yeah. That's totally right.
Well, I'm looking forward to what you and your board and Student Government Association achieves in the next year. I have no doubt that even if it's a small change or a large one, it will be significant. And that's the most important thing. I really valued your story and where you were, where you've been, and where you are now, but also the potential of where you are headed is very exciting. Congratulations on your election, and
thank
I wish you.
You
all the best. I'm sure I'll see you. Don't forget to come to Pottstown. That's very important.
Of course. We actually made it a point to include more Pottstown.
I like that.
Stuff. Of course.
Come on down. All right. So thank you again, Danny, and congratulations on your election win. I am, again, excited for you and what you will achieve. I'd also like to extend a special thank you to our alumnus, Quinn Senta, from our sound recording and music technology program, who produced today's show. And thank you again for listening to the Monco on the Move podcast. Check back soon to hear more stories from our Monco family. Until next time, I'm Jared Brown, and thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to Monco on the Move. Students at Montgomery County Community College working in the sound recording and music technology program record, edit, and produce this podcast. Check out mc3.edu/onthemove to listen to our latest episode or download our podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also learn about the latest episodes by following us on social media. Have a guest in mind you think would be great for the podcast? Email Eric Devlin at edevlin@mc3.edu or Diane Van Dyke at dvandyke@mc3.edu. And come back next time to find out more about what's happening at your community college and catch our Monco momentum.